This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey you, yeah you in the cafe. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy at work, just like you? Right now, times are very tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to help you through your workday. So tell your next-door neighbour, your friends, and even your dad to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
And you are listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9 with Macca and myself, Tass. Macca.
Yes, thank you, Tass. Our next guest is Peter Khalil. Peter is the federal member for the seat of Wills, representing the Australian Labor Party. Disclosure, Peter is actually my local member, and I actually got a robo call from you this week, Peter.
Oh. Did you call back? Did you press one to have a chat with me? Because now I'm on the air with you. So
I thought no.
Have it now, or we could do it later.
Oh, do that.
No, I thought I can actually embarrass you. I can embarrass you in on air to be much better.
So did you listen to the call, Macca?
No, I hung up.
Macca, hey, I've got to say though, I just one little small correction, Macca. I don't represent the Australian Labor Party. I'm a member of the Australian Labor Party, or a Labor member who represents the people of Wills like you.
Okay.
Quite different.
Okay.
Yes.
I represent you, Macca.
You do, and I know because when I've...
That's a nice bit of nuance.
Contacted Peter's office about a local issue, guess what? I've got a response. A resolution. So people will go, yeah, I'm sucking up to him, I'm not.
Now, Peter, your electorate is in the northwest region of Melbourne, and as we know, there has been a bit of an outbreak in the northwest. That's where the highest number of cases currently exist of COVID infection, and we know that that's where the lowest number of people who are vaccinated. Tell us, what's your observation? What does it feel like to be in that community at the moment?
Well, the first point, you're right. The first point is that the lower vaccination rates, I think, are for two reasons. One, there are multicultural communities there in the north and northwest who have been fed a lot of disinformation, frankly, on Facebook and other social media platforms, which is really troubling. And there's also a younger population, if you like, so it skews quite young. And, of course, younger people have had to wait for vaccination. So I think those two things combined are the kind of reasons why vaccination rates are lagging behind in the north, northern suburbs and northwest. Both of those things are being addressed, I should say. The feel, to second party question, is that obviously younger people are now getting access to vaccinations and that is good. And they're coming out and getting vaccinated, which is fantastic. And those communities, we're reaching out. And I've been doing this for a while, by the way, because the federal government, and again, I'm going to be partisan about this, they were bloody hopeless. I mean, frankly, using Google Translate just was not acceptable. I'm a former SBS employee, executive at SBS. I've worked as a Victorian Multicultural Commissioner. I have some experience in reaching out to those communities. And I just paid for translations in various languages to get basic pandemic information to these communities out there to try and offset the misinformation and disinformation that was being peddled. There's a lot of hesitancy, Macca and Tass, amongst those communities. And what's also interesting, though, it's not just the older migrant groups. It's actually the second and third generation. So you're looking at Lebanese Australian, Greek Australian, Italian Australian, second and third generation out in the outer suburbs. There's a fair bit of disinformation there. People are hesitant about vaccine. That is starting to shift. We are trying to reach them through community leaders, religious leaders and others to get that message through. And we just have to do it because I think the federal government efforts here have been quite woeful.
I often wonder, Peter, when you talk about this hesitancy, what is it, in your experience, when you speak to people in communities, what is the hesitancy about? What is, is there a couple of reasons why people are hesitant. Can you help us get our head around what their thoughts are?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question, because it is a spectrum. Mm-hmm. So right on the loony end of the spectrum is this complete anti-vaxxer position where they think aliens are injecting us and there's microchips in our arms, you know, and you can't really argue with people like that. That's that, you know, that's really, they've gone over the cliff on that stuff.
But that's delusional. That's just delusional, really.
yeah, it's the, and there's variations on this. That's Bill Gates is microchipping us, or there's reptilians that are running the government, that kind of crap, right? And you get that kind of in the sewers of the internet and so on. But that's a small, very small minority of anti-vaxxers. There are others who are, who make an argument based on health reasons. It's my body. I don't want to be putting anything in there. And they're making a calculated risk. I think it's a miscalculation that they're safer not taking the vaccine. There are people further along the spectrum who have legitimate
And they usually say that while they're sucking on a cigarette or ingesting other substances.
Well, that's right. That's right. So, you know, what else are you putting in your body? But there are others who have legitimate concerns, who are worried or hesitant about the side effects, for example, of AstraZeneca, which got a lot of airtime here, and we saw that happen. And people were like, oh, you know, blood clots. But the fact is, you know, you've got more chance of getting a blood clot if you get COVID. It's, I think, 1 or 2 in 100,000. Women who take the pill are 1 in 1,000 chance of getting a blood clot. There's all sorts of other drugs that people take that have much higher risk there. And you know, you can do all sorts of risk mitigation or calculation, but, you know, there's a 0.0001% chance of dying from a vaccine or having a vaccine, and whereas you have a 0.1% chance when you jump in the car and drive to the supermarket. So, I mean, it's about risk and what you're prepared to do in your life. And the fact is, taking the vaccine protects you from a much higher risk, health risk, which is this COVID pandemic. But more importantly, and this is what I explain to these people when I talk to them, it's like it actually reduces hospitalisation and fatality and allows us to get to a point where we can actually ease restrictions and get out of these lockdowns so that we don't overwhelm the hospital system. There are some people, I should say, just to finish off, whose hesitancy is based on, as I said, the disinformation. But there are very smart people who say, well, I don't know, you know, the clinical trials haven't gone long enough. We don't know what the long-term effect is, and that's certainly true. And you need to be honest with those people and say, yes, but you're making an assessment about what is best for you and your family in the context of a global pandemic, based on the clinical trials that we've gone through and the risk factors of actually getting COVID and getting hospitalised. And for those multicultural communities, for example, I say to them, you are going to be exposed, because when we do open up in a couple of months, when we get to 70% vaccination or 80% vaccination, this is going to be a pandemic of the unvaccinated. 99% of people in the hospitals are unvaccinated. The 1% are people who have had one dose and they've been released. But this is stats from Victoria and New South Wales. So people need to understand that they're putting themselves at risk in that context.
It's interesting, you know, the conspiracy theories, and I always, you know, think that the biggest thing about the 5-kilometre limit that we're under, it stops those people that believe that stuff from driving off the edge of the earth, because the earth is flat, apparently. And it's more than 5 kilometres away. Tash, you had another question for Peter.
Well, I did actually. I was going to ask you what you thought about the allocation. So, you know, we've talked about people choosing to be to access vaccinations, but we haven't really talked about the supply issue. And of course, in the last week, we've had some commentary about Victoria being dudded on supply.
Yeah.
What are your reflections on that?
Well, first and foremost, there's 2 points. The first point is, Morrison stuffed this up. I was going to use another word starting with F, but he stuffed it up by not buying more.
You can't do that on
not
radio.
Buying more. No, I can't do that on radio. You don't have that button that you can mute me. But he didn't buy enough vaccines last year, and despite many people saying, get 6 or 7 supply contracts in place. And we've seen they kind of gave the brush off to Pfizer when the Pfizer executives wanted to talk to him about a supply contract as well, and they eventually got a smaller contract with them. But the thing is, they should have had 6 or 7. They would have had contingency, and I said it at the time as well on the ABC and other media. And if they all worked fantastic, we could have given the surplus to our Pacific neighbours and other countries that were in need and done the right thing as a good international citizen. No, he went with two. He got caught out. We had all this business with AstraZeneca and people being hesitant about it. And you get this slowness of the vaccine rollout that is entirely the federal responsibility. The second point about the supply now that it's coming through and they're catching up is whether it's been weighted towards various states over others. There is some evidence that you touched on there that New South Wales was getting more of that supply through the GPs and so on. Now, you know what? If that's the case, you know, I'll be quite critical of the federal government. On the other hand, I've got to say this, and I was a bit of an outlier on this, you know, a couple of weeks ago when people were carrying on about New South Wales getting vaccine and Victoria. I was like, we should be helping each other.
Yeah,
like,
that's
if,
right.
If New South Wales needs it, let's get it to them. They'll help us when we need it. And New South Wales should have helped us when we needed it last year or when we had our outbreaks. We're basically, I mean, it's a federation, but we are Australia, all one Australian nation, if you like, a nation state. And this kind of provincialism, I cannot abide. And it doesn't augur well for this country if we're fighting each other based on arbitrary state borders. I'm happy to fight them on the footy and the, you know, and sport and all the rest of that and have fun with that. But when it comes to what's important for us as Australians, we need to be supporting each other.
Peter, we've run out of time, unfortunately, but it's always great to hear your voice and to hear your reflection on these issues that are very relevant to our community. Thank you for your time this morning.
Yeah.
Enjoy the rest of your day, whatever you're doing. I suspect you're not in sunny St Kilda lunching by the seaside this weekend.
Oh, but I'm jealous. I'm jealous of you.
Yeah, but you might be at some point in the future. So enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you.
And just remember, Peter, stay away from the Sussex Street, Gaffney Street intersection. It's being dug up for a month. For a month.
I know. I live around the corner from
there. Yes, so do I. It's a disgrace. Thank you.
That was Peter Khalil, the Federal Member of Parliament, Labor Member of Parliament for the federal seat of Wills.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.